Proverbs chapter 2, the seeking man. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to read your precious word. Now, Lord, as we study it and go through it, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to build within our own character a desire, a hunger for the things of God and for the right things. Make us a seeking people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I ran a bus route when I was in Bible college and was a bus captain for a number of years. And we, of course, would pick up a large number of young people. However, I used to say this, almost everything that I did as far as preparation and preaching on the bus and teaching on the bus was geared to about 4 or 5 young people. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Were not the other ones important? No, they were all important. They're all valuable. They're souls. How could they not be important? But what I was looking for when I preached, what I was looking for when I taught, what I was looking for on Saturday visitation was that young person that was hungry, that was seeking, that wanted to learn, that wanted to be helped, that wanted to grow. And the honest truth is that usually settles down to just a handful. And I asked Reno Likens one time, when I was just starting to be a youth pastor here, and Brother Likens was a leader of a large youth group in Shawnee Baptist Church, and we had an opportunity to spend some time together, and I said, you have such a large youth group. How in the world do you decide who to spend time with or invest in, what extra little time you have? And he said, I don't decide. He said, they decide. I don't decide, they decide. And he said, you know what? The young people that are coming to me and asking for time and wanting to learn and have a hunger and a desire for the things of God, that's where I put my investment in. And, well, preacher, I don't think that's fair. Well, you know, it may not be fair, but it's wise. And I think it's perfectly fair. You know, I don't know about you, but life is precious to me. And my time is my life. And I want to invest it in the place where I feel like I've got the best opportunity for a return. And somebody that has a kind of a flippant, I don't care attitude, and every time you try to go the extra mile with them, they drag their feet, and they don't act like they want to be here, and they smirk and sneer at most everything that's taught. Why in the world would I dump extra time into them until God touches their heart and opens up their heart and gives them a hunger for the things of God? I'll preach to them as part of the group. But I'm going to make my investment in people that are hungry for the things of God. Now, folks, listen to me. What a great attribute. What an important character trait to develop in our life. This hunger, this willingness to seek. Why don't we throw off this satisfied, I'm satisfied where I'm at. There's nothing else I really need to learn. There's nothing else I need from God. I'm fine the way I am. Why don't we throw that away? Here we have in these first few verses of chapter 2 a description of that hungry young person, that hungry Christian, that I call them the pearls of great price, that they want. They want what God has for them. They want the things of God. My son, if thou, no, it's not my responsibility, excuse me, sorry, not my responsibility as the teacher, it's your responsibility as the student. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understand. You see, folks, there's some things you've got to do. If you're going to want to learn, you've got to turn the switch on. You've got to get hungry. You've got to desire it. You've got to want it. You've got to be willing to pay a price for it. And yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we're going to talk about the seeking man. I couldn't help but just flip through my concordance on my computer and just look at the great verses that contain this idea of seeking. And, of course, no way we can teach on all of these. But can I just maybe share a little bit of the blessing I had in my office just flipping through and reading these great verses that encourage us to have a seeking heart? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. I like Psalms 27:8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Did you get that? David wrote this, when thou sayest, speaking to God, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. How about Psalm 34:10? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 63:1, O Lord, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you ever got hungry for God? You ever got just hungry for God? How about Isaiah? He wrote this, 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ, he wasn't afraid to be the seeker, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, he came when we were lost and sought us, but after we're saved, we're supposed to seek him. I don't understand that. He chased us down to save us, and then he spends most of a Christian's life still chasing him. That's ridiculous, by the way. That's sad. It's a catastrophe. How about Philippians 2:21? For all seek their own. What an indictment. Think about this, what Paul wrote. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Wow. That's what he said. He was talking about Timothy. You ought to read that portion of Scripture. He's talking about Timothy and bragging on Timothy. He said, you know why I can trust him? You know why I can send him to you? Because he's not like other people. And he said this, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Apostrophe S on the end of Jesus Christ. The things that are important to him. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Ask and it shall be given to you. Matthew 7, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. We're supposed to be a seeking people. How about Hebrews 11:6? For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so in the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to seek some things. And if you do a study on the word seek and seeketh, searcheth, what you'll find out is there's seven things that the Lord encourages us to seek in the book of Proverbs. Now, we could do an entire study in the Bible, and there's a lot more than just seven things we ought to seek, but I think it's interesting as we study the seeking man in Proverbs, these seven things. Now, I came up with a list of five things that were commanded not to seek. I can't preach these or teach these because they're a sermon unto themselves, but let me read them to you and give you the verse. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Rebellion is not something that we ought to see. Young person, are you seeking rebellion? I mean, is that an active part of your life, is to seek out opportunities to rebel? Seek out opportunities to stiffen your back and stiffen your neck and show yourself a fool? I mean, are you seeking? The Bible says this, an evil man. You got a heart problem, seeketh only rebellion. Watch this. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. I wonder what kind of cruel messenger that is. Look at that word messenger. Same word that's interpreted what? Angels. What you better understand is God has an army. God has an army. We're not to seek rebellion. I thought I wasn't going to preach this. Wine and strong drink, don't seek it. Don't seek wine and strong drink. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go and seek mixed wine. Proverbs 23:35, for they have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Don't seek wine and strong drink. How about this? Self-exaltation. Proverbs 17:19, he that loveth transgression, that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Don't exalt your gate, you're seeking destruction. Proverbs 25:27, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. Don't seek self-exaltation. Listen to that, church, listen to that, get it in your heart. As much as we want to act like we don't, too many times people are looking for opportunities to find some way to exalt themselves. If you're given an opportunity to give a testimony, do you exalt Christ or yourself? Now, if we were to record them and play them back, what was it really about? Who was it really about? Exalt Christ. Okay? Why do you do what you do? For the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you serving saints. I'm talking about you workers. I'm talking about people that are doing stuff. Why do you do it? Is it self-exaltation? Or is it for the glory of God? Okay? Bible says, Proverbs says, don't seek death. You say, preacher, who would seek death? Well, get this one. I wish I could teach this. Proverbs 21:6, the getting of treasures. Proverbs 21:6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Wow. It's people that want to get gain, get treasures by lying, a lying tongue. Sometimes you lie to yourself. You say this, oh, I don't need to tithe. Getting of treasure by a lying tongue. The vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Mischief is the fifth one. Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Careful what you look for. You seek mischief, that's what's going to come. It's going to come to you. And so we're given a list of things in Proverbs not to seek for rebellion, wine or strong drink, self-exaltation, death, mischief. Now, preacher, what does the Bible say that we're to seek? Well, if I'm going to give you seven things, we're going to hurry here. Here we go. Ready? Seek the Lord. Number one, seek the Lord. I will say this, Bible-wide, if we were to do an entire thorough Genesis to Revelation study on the word seek, the number one thing that we're encouraged to do is to seek God. Seek the Lord. Proverbs 28, why don't you go there? We'll have you start using your Bibles a little bit. Get ready to move around in them. Proverbs 28:5. Notice what it says here, evil men, Proverbs 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, a lot of times what you'll find also in this study on seeking the Lord is an encouragement to seek the Lord early. Early, seek Him early. I've heard preachers explain this a lot of different ways, and I think they're all good ways. Young people, seek Him early in life. Just decide as a very, very, I mean, the youngest of the young person that's in here, I wish they'd get a heart that would just say, you know what, I'm just going to go after God. My heart's going to go after God. God's going to be the focus of my life. I'm going to seek Him out. I'm going to do it early. I'm not going to wait till I'm 20s, 30s, 40s, and wasted the best of my life, and then finally decide to get around to seeing if maybe me and God could get together. Seek Him early in life. One man said this. He thought it meant seek Him early each day. I'd say amen to that too. I think it's a wonderful thing to start the day with the Lord and seek Him before you, listen, seek His face before you face anyone else. Just seek the Lord first thing in the morning. Get started out right. Get up. Get your Bible out, listen to what he has to say, pray and share your heart with him, and then you'll take off on the right foot, starting the day. So number one, we're encouraged. The seeking man seeks the Lord first of all. Number two, seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. I'm going to say a couple things here. Proverbs 15, verse 14, if you'll turn there. Proverbs 15, verse 14. And then I'll have you jump over to Proverbs 18. But Proverbs 15, verse 14, if you'll look there. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Well, I wish we'd highlight that. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Too much feasting on foolishness. Too much time in our life just spent feasting on stuff that absolutely is, not only doesn't increase knowledge, I'm not sure it doesn't damage brain cells. Just constantly our communication is a feast of foolishness. If we're not careful, we fall into that. Bible says the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, Proverbs 18:15, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So it talks about the heart seeking knowledge, and it talks about the ear seeking knowledge. So it's giving us a couple different ways that we can get it. We get it through listening, hearing, seeking out knowledge by listening to people that know something, listening to people that have knowledge in some area that maybe we lack, by willing to humble ourselves, to ask questions, to get counsel, and to hear the answer to that. Also, the heart seeking knowledge. Seek knowledge, not the knowledge of men. I mean, that's fine if you want to increase your IQ level or get some information and learn some things, as long as it's healthy and holy, that's not done damage to you, that's okay. But folks, the idea here is to seek the knowledge of God. Look, let me throw this out again. Here we go again. New year. Here we go again. I'll try it one more time. Here we go. Read. Okay. Read. Increase your library. Brother Gail Russ brought all the music, and Brother Smith brought a bunch of books. Nobody's got any money left, but if you want to come, you come on. And I'm just not promising you anything, man. And then I got yearbooks in today. I'm going to try to sell you Sunday night, so I'm going to try to get Sunday night before he gets here Wednesday night. So if anybody's got $20, don't save it for Larry Harrison. Get you a yearbook, amen. But the honest truth is, he comes through, you know, once a year, twice a year, and just carries in tables, loads. And he said he loves coming here because y'all buy books. I don't know what you do with them, whether you know, you got furniture that's, you know, stick it under the leg of it, or hopefully you're reading it, aren't you? Come on, you're reading it, aren't you? And but I'm telling you, you know, okay, go ahead, do your social networking, feed on foolishness. Okay, hang around with the carnal and the confused, and exchange great depths of thought. Or you could read a few pages of John R. Rice. Or you could read, Brother Josh, he wanted me to come last Friday night and wanted me to do a practice sermon so that he could adjust the volume and play around with the mic so we get ready for Brother Smith when he came. Well, I brought a book of Bob Jones Sr.'s sermons up here, Brother Joe. I thought, I'm not going to sit up here and wing it. I'll just read, Brother. And I got to reading, and man, it was good stuff. You know, I thought, why do I even study? I could come up here every week and just read this stuff. And then at one point, I'm reading along, and I look up, and he's not even doing anything. I finally said, are you done? He's like, yeah, but that was so good. I just wanted to kind of hear the rest of it, you know. You know what, folks, listen to me. I will get me to the morons on the internet and learn from them the ways of the Lord. I will get me to Facebook, because boy, there's all kinds of intelligence floating around in Facebook. Well, what I'm saying is, there are great men
who lived a life, a successful life, and served God and pinned down some things. And we go 2012 and never read one sentence of anything they ever wrote, but you know, we break an arm trying to get to our phone every time somebody texts us something stupid. And we ought to, honestly, listen, folks, we ought to be embarrassed. We're not, but we ought to be embarrassed. Seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. Again, what do you look for, preacher? I'm looking for that exception. I'm looking for that hungry young person. I've said this two or three times. I just keep throwing it out there on Wednesday nights because I got the teens in here, and I'm like, you know, I know most of you won't, but man, it'd be great if one of you did this. And you know what? God sees. God watches. I don't care if I find out or not. It don't matter. But somewhere quietly, there ought to be some teens and some 20-somethings that just say, you know what? I'm going to get a hungry heart. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to get off the idiocy of this culture, and I'm going to actually see if I can expand my spiritual IQ a little bit. Seek knowledge. Number three, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. Of course, that entire chapter, wisdom is personified, given a personality. And in verse number 17 of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, wisdom says this. Wisdom speaks, and it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Again, early, young people, boy, I just get into the book of Proverbs, get into it, study it. I've just whet your appetite. There's so much more. Proverbs 18:1. I love this verse. You ought to flip over there. A little four-point outline just jumps out of this one verse. It gives you a formula if you want to increase in wisdom. Through desire, there's where it starts right there. Through desire, that's point number one. A man having separated himself, that's point number two. You want to increase in wisdom? There's verses like this that contain, in one verse, great truths and great formulas that makes the difference between you growing up being a fool and growing up and being wise. It says, first of all, you got to get hungry for it. That's what I just said. I'm looking for the person that has a desire. I'm looking for someone that's hungry. I'm looking for someone that wants to learn. I'm looking for someone seeing how close they can get, not how far away they can hide. That's what I'm looking for. I talked to Brother Tim Burcham, and let me just say this, and I needed to deal with it with our people at some point, so I'll just make it part of the sermon. But you know, I never notice it when I'm teaching Sunday school because I'm teaching, and I'm speaking into the mic. But every time we have a guest, and I sit down, and I never sit in the back. I sit on the front row or the second row by my wife. And I hear during most of the Sunday school lesson people talking in the foyer, carrying on conversations. And folks, we can hear you all the way to the front pew. Okay, the only folks that ought to be back in the foyer during Sunday school is our secretaries and Brother Harrison and Brother Tim Burcham. And if people are just back at, listen, what are you doing? Let me give you a clue. There's some great things being taught. If you'd rather find an excuse to go back and sit in those chairs, then I'll take those chairs and make a bonfire out of them. Okay, they're not there so that you can find a place to park while something's going on here. Now, really, come on now. Listen, church starts with opening assembly. Okay, opening assembly means you come in here and assemble. Not 15 or 20 or 30 of you standing in there yakking and carrying on when I'm trying to lead singing and trying to recognize birthdays, and there's so much noise there, we can't hear what. I understand buses come in late, and by the way, that'd be good if that got fixed too. But get here on time. But, you know, if everybody get in, by the way, is that important? I get 10 minutes with these kids a week. I get 10 minutes with them. If I'm a bus captain, I want my kids to have those 10 minutes with my preacher. They're going to Sunday school, they're going to junior church, I get 10 minutes with them. Don't rob me of those 10 minutes. It's important. I want to be their pastor also. Okay, so get them here. But what I'm saying is this. Where's the hunger? Figuring out more reasons to get out than get in. To get back instead of get forward. Okay, to not listen than listen. At some point, there has to be something that clicks inside of you. Man, it's exciting when that happens. I mean that. There's nothing, I think, more fun about being a youth pastor for the years I was than to watch that spiritual switch get flipped at some point in a young person's heart, and all of a sudden they get a hunger for the things of God. And if that hasn't happened, I mean it. I'd seek that. I'd pray for that. I'd say, God, do that in my heart. Make me hungry for the right things. And that's number three. Number four, seek the upright. Now, I want you to see this verse. It's a wonderful verse, Proverbs 29:10. Proverbs 29:10. Seek the upright. Seek the upright. Underline this. Get it. In fact, I guess you could just underline Proverbs. I mean, preacher, if we had underlined everything you said, nothing would stand out because, well, amen, just underline it all. Just get you, instead of a highlighter, just get you a spray can full of highlight and just spray every page, I guess, because, I mean, every verse, good night. There's so much in this book. Here we are, we've spent all these Wednesday nights, and honestly, folks, we haven't even scraped the surface of the wisdom that's contained in Proverbs. One phrase could change your life, and God could help you find that phrase if you decide you get in there and get hungry for it. Proverbs 29:10, notice this, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. Now, you ought to get that in your heart a little bit. If you've got just a heart problem with everybody that's trying to do right, you ought to think about what God just said, what he just called you. This is craziness. Where we get into a Christian school situation, or we get into a youth group situation, or we get into a church situation, even amongst adults sometimes, and people that are bent on doing right, trying to do right, are attacked by segments of the church. They just seem like they can't stand. They got an animosity against people that are trying to do right. You need to examine that. I mean, are you a child of God or a child of the devil? See, God's excited about people doing right. If you're not, I don't know who you're rooting for, whose team you're on, but you're not on God's side. You're not on God's team. I don't get that. Some of the most precious young ladies that have come through here with a heart to do right, some of our guys have given the hardest time to. And by the way, you owe them an apology. You know what? Why don't we just talk about what the real problem was? They got the guts to be what you don't have the guts to be. That's the real problem. Okay? They got the guts to be what you don't have the guts to be. That's the real problem. But notice what it says here. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. But notice what it says. Well, this last phrase here. But the just what? Seek his soul. Seek the upright. Now watch this. Let me break this down. But the just seek. Choose wisely your companions. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. Shall be. Same shall be in Romans 10:13 that you stake eternity on. Shall be destroyed. You pick fools as your companions, you're going to be destroyed. Yes, you are. Who are you hanging around? Who's got your ear? Who's got influence in your life? Because you show me your friends today, I'll show you what you'll be tomorrow. But notice what it says here, young people, not just to choose their company, not to seek their company. It says what? But the just what? Seek their what? Seek their what? Amen. Are you going to explain that? I don't think so. I think maybe the ones that will think it through will get it, and the ones that don't won't. Number five, seek the good. Proverbs 11:27. Seek the good. Let's go over there. I said, preacher, this is tough. Yeah, Proverbs is tough. I told Cheryl, I said, I'm kind of glad this Proverbs series is coming to a close. It just seems like every Wednesday I just make half the people mad. But it's supposed to be tough on us. You know what Proverbs is? It's a big giant spotlight that exposes our character. It's a big spotlight that exposes our character. And, that's good for us. Praise God. Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. You want to procure favor from God? You want to get favor from God? Diligently seek good. Seek the good. I won't have you turn there because of time, but I have used this so many times here, but it's good. In Mark chapter 7, we read a couple verses there. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. And this is something I've taught our young people for years. They found fault. The Pharisees found fault. Why did they find fault? That's what I always ask them. Why did they find it? The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. You spend your life seeking to find fault, you can find it. You will find it. You know why? Because you're going to find what you seek. Okay? If you seek fault, you're always there and your entire day is focused around, let's watch everybody and see something that doesn't add up or something I don't like. Oh, there, I knew it. And that's all you're ever going to get out of life. That's what you're going to be. And a seeker of bad. But the Bible says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Oh, this is good for us. So seek good. What do you mean, preacher? I mean seek good. Look for the good. Look for the good in every situation. Look for the good in every circumstance. Look for the good in every place. Look for the good in every person. If you want to, you can. You know that person you don't like? There's a lot of good in that person. Matter of fact, there's probably some things you can learn from. No. Yeah, yeah. That person you've got a bitterness towards, there's a lot of good in them. You know, and I'm going to say something. I never judge the worth of a person or by whether or not they like me. Somebody can not like me and still be a really good person. They're not too smart, but I mean. but honestly, you know, it's not a litmus test on their goodness or their worthiness to God. And but here's the thing. I just because they don't like me don't mean I can't like them. And I'm not going to choose to be what they are. So I'll look for the good in a person that's constantly looking for the bad in me. You know, I'll defend people that attack me. You ask my staff. I'll defend people that attack me. And you know what? Well, preacher, they shouldn't. I know, but then you know what? They're good people. There's good in them. And, you know, I'm not, listen, if I become them, then they've won. I'm not going to be that. Okay, so I'm not going to be that. And so I showed up the gas station the other day. Remember, we got our 2 days of little rain and kind of nasty weather. And I walk in and lady behind the counter and the person in the line is just going on and on and on about the rain. You know, it's just so nasty. And when is this supposed to get out of here? And I said, folks, we had 3.5 months, 4 months worth of drought this summer. Lord knows we need it. And they said, well, yeah, we, I guess we need the rain. I said, you know, you can't have rain without it being wet. And when I left there, everybody was rejoicing that we had rain, you know. You know, you can have that effect everywhere you go if you want to. You can have that effect if you want to. Some of you lower the temperature of the room, some of you raise the temperature of the room. Okay? I mean, you know, some of you walk into a situation that's positive, person, everybody's negative. Some of you can walk into a situation that's negative and pretty soon everybody's positive. You've got to decide what you're going to be. Okay? And so seek the good. Look for good in situations. Look for good. The Bible says this, he that diligently, that means it's not always easy. He's a preacher, but the circumstances sometimes are tough. Yeah, it sometimes, I have to stop and say, okay, there's good here. I know there is. Just give me a minute. There's diligently seek it. There's something good. I mean, nothing's gone right all day, but there's some good here somewhere. I'm going to figure it out. Sometimes you have to be a little diligent. But you know what? He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. God notices. He's looking for that person that is not influenced by circumstance or drugged down by people around them, but decide to live on a higher plane, a higher level, and that person gets the favor of God and the blessings of God in their life. God is looking for that type of person to use in a unique and special way. And so what an important thing. Okay, let me show you this verse. I love this verse. Proverbs 17:9. Number six, seek love. Seek love. Well, how do I do that? Proverbs 17:9. Notice what it says here. I love this. I want to teach you something. I hope it'll help you. And maybe clear up some confusion in your heart, because it seems like sometimes there's conflicting verses in Proverbs about this very subject. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. So seek love. How do I seek that? You cover a transgression. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You're saying covering a transgression. Yeah, that's what it says. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. That's what it says. All right, Proverbs 25:2. Let's go over there. Remember what I just said. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Now, I want you to weigh those two verses in your mind, and let's contrast them against Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. So Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Proverbs 28:13, wait a minute. It says here, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaking them shall have mercy. Okay, do you know the difference? Have you figured it out? Did you notice the pronoun used in Proverbs 28:13? I want to teach you something. Get this. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now let me tell you what a lot of times we're guilty of. I'm going to say we're guilty of it, okay? When it comes to our sin, we want to cover it. When it comes to somebody else's sin, we want to expose it. But we're doing just the opposite of what the Bible says. God says, uncover your sin, cover theirs. Uncover yours, cover theirs. Okay? And again, average Christian. The average Christian is not much Christian if you haven't figured it out, because I use that phrase a lot, average Christian. But in this day and age, the average Christian ain't much Christian. Okay? But the average Christian will sin and then go to the death to hide it, leave churches to hide it, split families to hide it, cause war to hide it, okay? Rip apart a congregation to hide it. But if somebody around them sins, boy, they're on their soapbox pointing and screaming and want everybody to look at it. But that ain't much Christian, okay? I wish we could get as convicted about our own sin as we seem to be convicted about everybody else's sin. I wish I, and even Jerry Ross, I wish I could be as sensitive to things I do wrong as I am sometimes sensitive and bothered by things other people do wrong. Come on. All right, I'm not by myself here. And here's what the Bible says. If you want to seek love, you love somebody, you know what? Okay? Don't make public their sin. Matter of fact, you do what you can to do as little. Help do damage control over here. Help that person out. Love on that person a little bit. I'm not saying encourage them in their sin. I'm saying encourage them in their, listen, it's their job to uncover it. It's not your job. They're the one that has to make the decision about their sin. And if they cover it, they won't prosper. But I think sometimes we're so good experts at telling everybody in the church everything's wrong with everybody else, and we can't see what is on our account. And so uncover, here's something you ought to write down somewhere. Uncover your sins, cover the sins of others. Uncover your sins, cover the sins of others. If you do, then you seek love. If you do, it's the glory of God. If you do, then you know what? You'll get in the habit of confessing and forsaking the things that you're responsible for and not worry about what other people are doing so much. Let me take you over, and we'll learn one thing from the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:13, and then we'll wrap all this together and we'll get out of here. All right, number seven. Isn't it interesting how many times seven things come up in a study? You'd think that number had some special significance or something. Seek the Lord, seek knowledge, seek wisdom, seek the upright, seek the good, seek love. Here's a startling one, Proverbs 31:13. Seek work. Seek work. Proverbs 31:13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She seeketh that. And so one of the great character lessons is this. You ought to stay busy on purpose. You ought to stay busy on purpose. You ought to look for good things, productive things to do. It's just a good habit of life. Idleness is the devil's workshop. I don't know who came up with that, but they hit the nail on the head. Just find something to do. Let me give you a great verse here. Whatsoever thy hand, is that Ecclesiastes 9:10 or 10:9? 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now there's a great little outline in there. Whatsoever, which means there's no small jobs. Whatsoever means whatever you've been given, whether it's a little job. I don't believe in little jobs. I think little jobs are big jobs. I think the ladies, God bless them, by the way, out of sight, nobody sees them, but come in here and diligently spend hours cleaning this church. I think that's just as important as any other job in this church, including the one I'm doing tonight. I mean, I don't think there's little jobs. So don't get in this mentality, well, I'll do it if it's this, but I'm not going to do it if it's this whatsoever. Now here it is, thy hand. Thy hand. Here's the second lesson in that verse. Thy hand is this. Mind your own business. Okay, whatsoever, there are no little jobs, thy hand. Find it, thy hand. Be worried about what you're doing. I'm trying to turn the ship here in some of your thinking. Some of you are so fixated on everybody else, and you've become an expert about what everybody else is doing, isn't doing, how they should do it, when they should do it, what they should do. You are totally neglecting the things that God has put in your hand. I don't worry about what's not in my hand. I worry about what's in my hand. Okay? I don't worry about it. If I get a phone call and some guy say, what do you think about Brother So-and-so, and he's pastoring his church, and what would you do if you were? I don't know. I don't even have time to discuss it. Well, what do you think? I don't think about it. I don't think about what I would do if I pastored his church. I'm not pastoring his church. It's not in my hand. Why are we having this conversation? Now, literally, I've said that to preachers. Why are we having this conversation? Why are you asking this? I mean, that's not in my hand. I don't know. I focus on what's in my hand. You know, that's why preachers don't ever call me. Not many of them. Because I'm not in the preacher gossip club. Oh, there's a preacher gossip club. Amen, Brother Joe. There's a preacher's gossip club. There's guys that I don't know how they get anything done in their own church. They're always on the phone talking to other preachers about what they'd do if they pastored somewhere else, or what this person do, or how they'd run the sword of the Lord different, or, you know, whatever. And I think to myself, that's not in your hand. Okay? If you take all that time and work on your own church, you might have a pretty good church. But folks, that's not just for preachers, that's for all of us. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Notice that? This is what I was trying to get to. Stay busy on purpose. Findeth to do. This is what she did. You know what? She didn't get up in the morning and say, how can I hide from work? Or how can I procrastinate for another day so I don't have to do what I need to do? She got up. Everyone, you know what? She worketh willingly. She worketh willingly with her hands. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly. She seeketh it. She seeks out the material. Well, I do this today, but I don't have this. I don't have this. Well, go get it. Let me just teach you something, folks. You know how many times there's something that needs to be done around the church? And I walked all the way out to the road, and I looked down one way, and I looked down the other way, and stood there for a while and waited, and nobody showed up. So you know what I did? I just spent the whole day standing out there hoping somebody'd show up. No, I didn't. I called Chad and told him to do it. That's what I did. No, you know what you do? You get it done. You do it. You see it, you do it. If it needs done, you do it. You pitch in, you jump in, you do it. And I know that this is, for most of you in here, a way of life. But it's dying off. This thing's disappearing. And it's called incentive. Initiative. You know, looking for an opportunity to do something. Looking for something to do. A person that gets that mentality, looking for it, they're always going to find something. They're always going to get something done. And so these are the things that the book of Proverbs has pointed us to seek. Let's be a seeking people. Let's be that hungry person. Seek the Lord. Don't make him keep chasing you. You got to be seeking him. Seek knowledge. Do some reading. Come on, raise your spiritual intellect. Seek wisdom. Ask God for it. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Search for it. Get that Proverbs chapter 2 mentality. Seek the upright. Don't just seek their presence. Seek their soul. Seek the good. Look for the good in life. Come on. Be positive. Be positive. I'll end with this thought on that one. Seek good. Rebecca Swaby showed up at a service here a while back. When was that? It's been a while, right? Was it this Thanksgiving? This Thanksgiving. I liked that girl, and it was a blessing to see her. So I'll brag on her. She's not really one of ours, but kind of. There's Blessed Hope Kids, and there's adopted Blessed Hope Kids, and she's kind of an adopted Blessed Hope Kid. Went all the way through the school here. I was given the senior introductions when she graduated. Some of you may remember this. And I'd say a few words about each of our seniors and talk a little bit about their accomplishments. Then I'd say a few words about them personally. And what I said about Rebecca Swaby was this. I said, some people stand and look at a half full glass of water and try to decide if it's half empty. Some of them stand there and look at a half full glass of water and try to decide if it's half full. I said, Rebecca picks up the glass, takes it down, washes it out, fills it with something good to drink, and takes it to somebody. Why don't you be that person? Why don't you be that person? Was it half full or half empty? I don't know. Wash it. Put some Dr. Pepper in it. Fill it up so everybody knows how full it is. You know how much time we're going to answer before Almighty God? People sitting around discussing. What did you think about this? I don't know. What did you think about it? Well, I thought, why don't you stop trying to decide what you think about something and get up and do something? Because there's plenty to be done. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take these truths and challenges and make us better for you. And Lord, thank you for these verses. Make us a hungry people. Help us to learn to seek the right things, the good things, the wisdom of God, the presence of God, the knowledge of God, opportunities to do good to our fellow man. Lord, opportunities to work, be productive, and do things that's going to matter, make a difference. Lord, I would ask, please, that you'd help us to develop in our lives in these areas, we pray. In Jesus' name.